On this week's episode of the Hartsfield Sports Network podcast, Demaya, Andrew, and Antonio talk about this week in Red Fox Athletics. They're joined by the competition chair head coach, Ashley Ingalls. She talks to them about life as a chair coach, motivating kids, and creating balance in their life. They then transition over to the NCAA requirements with Director of Guidance Coach Jaron Harrison. She discusses what is needed to academically be eligible to play college sports. Here they are, Demaya, Andrew, and Antonio.
Welcome to your home for Red Fox Athletic News. This is the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. Here are your hosts, Andrew, Demaya, and Antonio.
Welcome to the Hartsville Sports Network podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Jaworski, and today I'm joined by
Demaya Bishop
and Antonio Hicks.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, the home of the Red Foxes, hhsredfoxes.com. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and five-star rate.
What y'all doing this weekend?
I gotta go to the football game on Friday and, you know, take some notes and stuff, yeah.
Are you excited about that?
sort of, I guess.
Really? I like football.
Me too. Friday, well, this weekend all over. I know Friday start my weekend off. I'm going to just be playing football and stuff, getting ready for the game, preparing and stuff like that, and try to bring back the dub. And the weekend, we're just going to see. I don't really have nothing planned at the game days on the weekend. So,
who y'all play?
We play Gilbert. So,
is that like... Preparing hard?
Yeah, we're preparing hard. They're a good team, so you know, we have to prepare hard, mentally and physically. So, and their run game is good, so it's mainly gonna be on defense, you know, to stop them.
What you doing tomorrow?
Well, I'm cheering Friday night, and I'm just working this weekend. That's it.
And now it's time for our favorite segment, Red Fox Week in Review.
Looking back on last week, Hartsville volleyball team defeated the Knights of the West Florence last Thursday, September 2nd, ended with four sets. First set, 25-14, second set, 19-25, and third set, 25-16, fourth set, 25-18. Leading the Red Foxes were Darisha McAllister, 7 aces, 10 kills, 3 blocks with 17 points overall, and Sierra Ganey, 1 ace, 2 assists, and 19 digs. On Wednesday, September 8th, the Lady Foxes defeated Matt B. High School in three sets, 25-12, 25-17, and 25-9. The Lady Foxes were led by Morgan Majors, who had 20 assists, and Brooke Isgett, who had 4 aces, 9 kills, for a total of 13 points. The Lady Foxes will be in action again on Thursday, September 9th, against Myrtle Beach.
Not for football. This past Friday, the Red Foxes played the Camden Bulldogs in a non-region game at Kellytown. This was a competitive game with the league going back and forth between each team. Both teams came to play as it was a long, exciting game with the leading tackler, Alex Hunt, 8 tackles, and leading rusher, Carmelo McDaniel, with 3 touchdowns. Unfortunately, the Red Foxes lost by a score of 43-37. To the Camden Bulldogs, leaving Foxes 0-2 and Camden 2-1.
The Hartsville High swim team traveled to Sumter on Tuesday, September 7th. Courtney Andrews finished 5th place in the 50-yard freestyle. Alexis Jepson finished 19th in the 50-yard freestyle and 13th in the 100-yard breaststroke. Andrew Fail finished 10th in the 50-yard freestyle and 5th in the 100-yard breaststroke. Jonah Cunningham finished 13th in the 50-yard freestyle and 4th in the 100-yard breaststroke. And Hunter Jepson finished 21st in the 50-yard freestyle and 13th in the 100-yard breaststroke. And that's our Red Fox Week in Review.
We would like to welcome to the show Coach Ingalls. So, where are you from?
I'm originally from Lugoff, South Carolina. So, I went to high school at Lugoff Elgin High School. So, my husband's from Bennettsville. So, we picked Hartsville because it's in the middle.
Did you cheer in high school?
I did. We had a competitive team at Lugoff, and I cheered 6 years with them competitively, so yeah.
What college did you attend?
I went to the University of South Carolina for my undergrad, and then I got my master's from Carolina as well. So I'm a big Gamecock fan.
Did you cheer in college?
I did not. That is a whole nother level of craziness that cheer can be in college. So, no, I did not. But I went to the football games as a student, and that was a lot of fun.
What day football games are signing?
Yes. Yes. That's the best part of college is football. So, especially SEC. That's the best. So.
Yeah, I heard Gamecocks stepping it up this year with a new head coach and stuff. So I'm excited to see how they're going to perform.
I am too. And right now we're winning and Clemson's losing. So I'm happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We like that.
Yeah.
Not really, but okay.
Do you have any kids? What is coaching like knowing you have a family at home?
Yeah, I have three boys. Seven. Brooks is seven. And Fitz is four, and Hamp is one, so I'm busy at home. But they're always with me. They're around all the time. They come to all the practices. Brooks is the little ball boy this year for the Red Foxes, so he is so excited about that, and he did that for the first time on Friday. I was nervous because, you know, he's little. He's only seven, and so that was exciting for him, nerve-wracking for me. But it works because they're with me all the time, and I love that they're growing up around, you know, student athletes and seeing the hard work that they put in. And Hartsville does a really good job of having a good family-friendly atmosphere. So,
would you like your kids to be like athletes in high school?
Not necessarily. I mean, I want them to do what they want to do, whatever their dreams are. I mean, they're still really young, so we're kind of figuring out what they enjoy. Brooks definitely is my athlete when I look at, you know, between him and Fitz right now. He plays baseball and soccer and golf. Fitz, he is more of my, like, dramatic one, and so I feel like he might go into the arts. So I could see him doing, like, acting and stuff like that. We signed him up for dance, so he's doing dance this time. So he's so excited about that.
How many years have you been coaching competitive cheerleading?
So this is our sixth season of competitive cheer at Hartsville, but this is my seventh year coaching. So, and it's been a journey. Hartsville used to have a competitive team probably 15 years ago, at least when I was in high school. I remember competing against Hartsville, and so then it kind of went away. And then when I came on, it was something I wanted to bring back, so we brought it back 6 years ago.
So you inspired them bringing it back?
I'm the one who started back. Phyllis Griggs was the AD, so this was three or four ADs ago. And I had to go to her with a whole presentation and basically prove to her what my plan was. I had a five-year plan that we would go to state within 5 years, because you have to qualify. Cheer is so different. You don't have playoffs and that kind of thing. You have a qualifier, and they take, like, the top 12 teams in 3A, 4A, 5A, that kind of thing. And so my goal was, and I told Coach Griggs this, I want to have them at state in 5 years, and we did that year three. So I'm excited about it. It's been a journey. It's been a lot of fun. I've learned a whole bunch. But, yeah, I was the one. And Carol Ann Beasley, she's the bookkeeper. We two together started it, and Casey Gedris, Miss Gedris down the hallway, she helped me, and Jenny McGraw. It was kind of a unit thing, yeah.
What are some motivational speeches you tell your cheerleaders before competing?
I never really have, like, one specific thing that I say. I just kind of, like, let it come from the heart when they're getting ready to go off on the mat. I tell them all the time how much I love them and appreciate them, and I don't take spending time with them for granted. They're kind of like another extension of my kids because I spend so much time with them. So last year specifically, I constantly was telling them to be somebody, you know, stand up and be who you were meant to be, whether that's winning first or placing last. As long as you give your best, that's all we're looking for.
So like when you were, when you're like, given the speeches before y'all do it, is it like an angry tone you're in, or is it like get ready tone?
No, it's never. I don't really think as a coach that I get too angry that often. I mean, I have to be pushed a lot. People have to not be trying for me to get angry. But no, it's more like uplifting and exciting because we only get to the performance only lasts 2.5 minutes. So
it
it's like really
so fast.
Yeah, Maya cheers for me, so she knows it goes by so fast. And so you know, and you're sitting in this hallway waiting to go on the mat, and you really just have to be like uplifting and happy and excited, because you never want to put anybody in a bad mood to go out there and mess up, you know?
Yeah. See, I play football, and I think I watched a video of y'all doing like a cheer thingy, and I can say like that's you know, I'd be so nervous if I was, you know, competitive cheering than compared to football being on the field. So
yeah, it's a lot, and I don't think people really understand what goes into the routine until you actually watch it. I know you were saying getting ready for Gilbert, you got to be ready physically and emotionally, and it's the same for cheer. You really have to like push through emotionally too through that 2.5 minutes, because your body is so worn out.
Are there any challenges you have faced this year?
I mean, we're still kind of in the middle of COVID, so I'm always nervous about that. You know, if someone has to quarantine, what are we going to do? We've had a couple of concussions already. We've had some girls not really meshing with their stunt group, so we've had to move things around to see what works. It's really a huge puzzle, and you're constantly taking pieces away and putting new pieces in and moving them around and seeing what works. So, but nothing too huge just yet that I can think of. It obviously wasn't too big if I can't remember. So
when getting results back after competing, do you work on the mistakes that were made, or do you prepare for the next?
Yeah, so we have a score sheet that we have to follow. And so we see the score sheet before the competition. So when our choreographer comes, we kind of give them where we are, technique-wise. What can we throw as far as tumbling? What can we throw as far as stunting goes? And then they kind of build a routine from that, and you try to get the highest that you can on the score sheet. And so you just drill that score sheet. You just constantly do reps and reps after rep after rep of all these different stunts that we have to, you know, compete with. And you hope for the best. You hope that it eventually sticks. You hope that it clicks for the girls. Historically, we've been better stunters than we've been tumblers. So, you know, we have to work around that, because tumbling is a huge part of the score sheet. It's the only category that gets judged twice. So,
was becoming a cheerleading coach always your plan when you were growing up?
Yeah, so I fell in love with cheer when I was in middle school, and I always knew that I wanted to become a teacher so that I could be a mom, because it's beneficial to have a job where your children can come to the school after they get out of school. But then I also knew I wanted to coach. So when you look at the, you know, how I view teaching, it kind of goes mom, coach, then teaching. So yeah, it was always in the cards.
Who did you look up to want to become a cheerleader? I mean, cheerleading coach.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had great coaches growing up when I was in middle school and high school. But really now the coaches that I really look up to are other coaches in South Carolina. Really specifically, there's a coach from Chapin, and they're just great. I mean, they've won state like 10 times. And she's been coaching for over 20 years, and she's built a dynasty there. And so I look up to her. I kind of look to her and her social media accounts to see what they're doing, and kind of try to model ours after that too.
When a cheerleader not feeling well about the work they put into on the mat, what encouraging words do you tell them?
That happens often. Because cheer can beat you down, because you could just be having an off day. And it's not just you. Like, when you're in a stunt group, there's four girls. So if the back spot is off, well, then the flyer is going to be off and the bases are going to be off. So it's hard to put that trust in, you know, all those other parts of a stunt group, of a team. But at the end of the day, you know, when you're having a bad day, you're allowed to have bad days. We're all human. You're allowed to mess up. You're allowed to be disappointed, but then you shake it off. You give yourself, you know, a few minutes to get it over with, and then you move on. So I just really try to be as encouraging and, you know, focus on the positive.
What are some changes over the years that you've seen while coaching?
Specifically with COVID, so we're such a physical sport in that we're constantly touching each other. So I mean, it's hard not to when you're putting girls in the air. So last year specifically, we took out the cheer and basket tosses. That's like another form of a stunt. And I was happy about that because the cheer, you're having to stunt and, you know, be vocal and yell out the cheer. Now the routine's just 2.5 minutes to music. And basket tosses, they're so scary because you're throwing the girl up in the air and letting go of them. And other stunts, you don't let go of them. So that's been big changes. And too, social media has played such a big role in how people share information. You know, you didn't have to used to post so much on your like cheer page on Instagram or Facebook. And now I feel like if you're not doing it, you're going to fall behind. And then other people are going to be wondering what's Hartsville doing. So.
Yeah, back in the day, well, I'm not old, but I'm I know a little bit about it. You know, the word used to get around, you know, by either flyers or the word just get around either by people talking and mm-hmm. people that just come together in the community. Now it's just, you know, the internet and stuff. People don't really come out. So, you know, you just got to find your way now. So.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So is there anything you would like the Red Fox community to know about Hartsville Cheer this year?
Yeah, so we'll be in Florence competing this year. So we actually are having regionals. That's a new thing. We've never done a regionals. When I started the program or brought it back 6 years ago, we were the only ones in the region that were competing. And now we have Darlington and Myrtle Beach and North Myrtle Beach and South Florence and West Florence. And so it's going to be exciting. So we actually have a regional competition. It's going to be in October. I think it's October 19th. And it'll be at West Florence High School. So at 6:00. So people can come and actually see the routine in action for the first time. It hasn't happened before.
Like competing against teams that you know or like close yeah. by, like do that yeah. like have you nervous?
Yeah, it does. You know, West Florence and South Florence are new to competing this year. So, I mean, I'm always nervous about Myrtle Beach because they're just good at everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like now that people are kind of following our trend, because that's how I feel about it, I'm nervous because now we have to really prove ourselves.
So how does it feel to be a trailblazer of competitive cheer?
So I definitely wouldn't consider myself a trailblazer. When I moved to Hartsville and I started at the middle school, I could tell that there was a need for the sport in the Hartsville community, not necessarily in the PD. I knew that they had a competitive gym in the PD in Florence. But as far as Hartsville goes, I knew that it was a need for young ladies and young men to come and participate in cheer, because you can go and, you know, compete and cheer in college and get scholarships. So it was something that was needed. And West Florence, I don't know if South Florence ever competed, but West Florence, kind of the same kind of story, and Myrtle Beach and North Myrtle Beach, the same kind of story as Hartsville. They used to compete years ago, and now they've brought it back. And so they have history there, but they haven't been competing this time as long as we have. So I wouldn't consider myself a trailblazer. I just wanted to bring something that I loved to Hartsville High School and hopefully spark a joy and interest in some of these young ladies and young men to be better and to do more with cheer than just wear a uniform. So.
All right. We want to thank you for your time. Would you like to give a shout out to anybody, like players, coaches?
Yeah. I mean, I guess definitely with my girls this year, super excited. We've got about a month left to prepare for our first competition. So shout out to them, but then also just everyone that's been a part of the program. It's a big deal to me that I didn't do this by myself. It was definitely all the girls and the two guys that came before the current team right now to build this program and to get us to state, you know, two times in the last 3 years. So it's definitely all on them, not me. So shout out to them too.
Last week, we had the NCAA program that was led by Coach Harrison. And my experience was good because as a senior, students deserve, like if they put in the hard work and stuff and they're not getting recognized, students deserve, you know, the scholarships and stuff like that. And, like, the points that she was pointing out for students and stuff like that, like waiting too late, I was relating to that, so it was good.
My experience was it made me like want to actually go into college and try out a sport or like cheer. And it just made me think about it since I got a whole nother year ahead of me. And I can go ahead and make up my mind now or have a plan to do before I graduate.
We would like to welcome to the show Coach Harrison, Director of the School Counseling Department.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad you guys felt like you learned something or gained something from the program. It was designed because I feel like a lot of students wait a little late. So we did have this program for the juniors and seniors. I guess that's what y'all went to. And then we had the one for 9th and 10th graders this week. And I think the hope is that they start earlier, because I've seen a lot of students not be able to do the things that they probably would be able to do if they had just taken advantage of the opportunities to take courses more seriously and, you know, work harder in the classroom and, you know, outside the classroom.
So what are the NCAA academic requirements?
Well, there's a sliding scale. So the higher your GPA, the lower your SAT score, ACT score could be. But in terms of your courses, you have to have 16 core courses, 4 English. You know, we're talking about Division I right now, okay? So you only have 4 English in your math. I think you have 3 maths, but we try to just make sure you're able to have 4. Your social sciences, which would be your social studies classes, 2 of those. 2 sciences, but, you know, we do schedule you to have 3. And really, we try to make sure that all of our students are able to have the requirements for graduation, and then those NCAA requirements build into it. The additional courses can come from your, like, there's 4 additional spaces. So those spaces can be social sciences, your foreign languages, those things. It's a total of 16 credits that they count. So that doesn't count your art or PE. So I know a lot of us take PE every year as a part of requirement for a sport, or we like to do chorus or band, and those things really help our South Carolina UGP, which is the weighted GPA, and the unweighted GPA, and it does not help. So a lot of times we have students who might have 4.0s, 3.7s, regular GPA, but they do not have that as a core. It's really important for you to take advantage of your core classes so that you can make sure that you have what you need. So you need to have a 2.3 in those core classes, and so that should definitely help students, and hopefully they'll start working on that now.
What is the NCAA clearinghouse?
So clearinghouse is what you have to register for in order to be able to play Division I or Division II. If you're doing Division III sports, you can create a profile page. It's not something that is required when you're going into Division III sports, because Division III does not offer athletic scholarships. And so a lot of students miss that part, but you don't have to pay that money for certification. When you're going into clearinghouse, what they're looking for is to make sure that you're academically eligible, as well as your amateurism is good. So that means you haven't played on any of those shady teams to be paid, or you haven't had anybody paying your way, even if it's cheer, even if it's softball, paying your way through some of these club sports or basketball, to make sure that you have the things that you need to have. So you can't say you're on a team that's sponsored by some random guy and then go to college, and then this guy expects you to make it to the league, and then you're going to pay him X amount of dollars back. So they make sure you don't get involved in any of those things. You'd be surprised how many of those things happen. Not necessarily so much here in South Carolina, but you'll see a lot of that in some of those larger places.
What should students register for the clearinghouse?
I recommend they register as soon as they know that they have an opportunity to play Division I or Division II. A lot of times it's in the sophomore year, but you're looking at about $90. So you don't want to just spend that, you know, and throw it away. So there are opportunities for fee waivers if students need it. But as soon as you register, then you'll get a number. And if you're being recruited, a lot of times students will hear from coaches and they'll say, well, what's your NCAA ID number? Well, what they're doing is they're looking at those transcripts and those test scores, and that's the easiest way to have that information relayed to them.
What happens if someone is a core class short?
Well, then you're not eligible, but you won't have a core class. You won't be short a core class because you have to have these classes. The issue is being able to retake the courses or participate in maybe online classes or something like that. The biggest issue we run into is you're not necessarily short. You just may not have gotten as high a grade as you need, right? So we have student athletes who've left here from Hartsville High who've gone on to play Division I sports. Namely, we've had some students like Tyon Evans, who plays at Tennessee. He is there doing very well, but he spent 2 years in a junior college because your core classes matter, right? So your core classes is not just rushing at the end senior year to get your test score up. It's just that 9th and 10th grade really does matter. And for him and a lot of students that we work with, the issue was probably something from 9th or 10th grade. So that means, you know, where physical science would count, or English 1 or English 2, or you didn't get credit for sociology or psychology, which would have been an easy pickup to get an A or B in. And so if you don't get the A's, the B's, and an occasional C, it's very difficult for you to turn the corner at the last minute. So I always recommend the students that I've worked with here at Hartsville and at other schools, I try to have them have all their core classes by in the junior year, so that way senior year we can use to not have to be missing a core unit.
What are the NCAA core course requirements?
Well, I've kind of just gone over those. Basically, you need to have a 2.3 or better in all of those classes, though. So that means your English, your math, science, social studies, and, you know, like I said, you get 4 extra ones, and so usually we try to put those toward your foreign language or something like that.
How can I find what classes count for my core classes?
So you can look online. If you go on the NCAA website and if you choose Hartsville High School, we can show you what classes that we have, because every time, every year, we upload new classes that are offered. So this year, we have more students taking sociology, which hasn't been, people haven't been taking it, you know, in years past, so we can use sociology as one of the core courses. Anytime we pick up, you know, English 5 and those things, they actually count towards what you need to have. What? Civics was one we just added to last year. Go ahead. Sorry.
What are the difference between NAIA and NCAA?
Okay, so those are just the NCAA is a body of schools, and NAIA is another body of schools. So basically, when you enter into your course requirements, NCAA is going to do their regulations and things through the NCAA Eligibility Center, and then NAIA actually has gonaia.org, and so you would play NAIA.org. And so schools like schools that are in NAIA in South Carolina, Allen, Columbia International, Columbia College. So a lot of schools that people can go to and get scholarships from, but through the NAIA program and through the NCAA organization, of course, you're going to find your differentiation. So if you've been offered a scholarship for one of those schools, those colleges will make sure you know that they're NAIA. And a lot of times you're not able to receive some of those full scholarships. They're actually coupling those with academic scholarships. So still, again, back to your academics being really important.
We would like to thank you for your time. Would you like to give any shout outs to anybody?
Shout out to myself. No, I'm just kidding. No. I think the program went really well. And I was glad to have students like you guys to come. I think it's really important for students who are out doing well. Like I said, I mentioned Tyon, but I could go on and on and on about so many students we have. We have students cheering. We have students playing softball. We have students playing football. And it really just goes down to putting in the work, you know, at the beginning. Not just academically, we're talking about academics today, but I think if you do base level or average work, you get average things from that work. And like I mentioned in the program, you got to do work when work is, you know, other people aren't working. So you're in a competition all the time. So for your grades, just like with your grades, if you're studying when other people aren't studying, you're probably going to do better on the test. And just like with athletics, if you're practicing, you know, outside of practice, if you're working on your own, that's going to be the difference in those scholarships. So good luck to everybody. Shout out to all the seniors graduating. Hopefully we'll have a lot of students to take advantage of their good grades and hard work this year.
So, Antonio or Demaya, would y'all like to give any shout outs?
I would like to shout out my siblings.
I would just like to shout out the community of Hartsville, what they do to make Hartsville high, you know, good, you know, all around too, so.
I give a shout out to G Went for editing most of the articles we post on the website.
What about you, Coach Harrison?
I can do more shout outs. Y'all are doing an awesome job. Just keep going, keep working, you'll just get better every time. Just keep working at it.
All right. Thank you for listening once again. Remember, you can listen to Hartsville Sport Network on the Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, and of course, home of the Red Foxes, HHSRedFoxes.com. I'm your host, Andrew Jaworski, with
Demaya Bishop
and Antonio Hicks, and we're out. Boom! We'll be right back.